Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we get into the text, or this is part of getting into the text, is to go back to the scripture reading this morning. I'd like to point out, that was in Luke 2, the reactions of the shepherds and also of Mary, and how that will eventually join up with the text itself, but also remind us of what we heard preached, if you weren't sleeping when I was preaching last Sunday, having to do with the Word, the importance of God's Word, the living Word, as Jesus Christ is. And as we see here, and I talked about the shepherds, and we notice how when they went to that manger, they heard the message, and they went. No one made them to go. They needed to go. And that, of course, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's not talk so much about in the Old Testament, although it's there from time to time. It's not ignored at all, but the indwelling Spirit wasn't until after Jesus rose and ascended into heaven and then given to those who believe. And so here, these men, the shepherds, touched by the hand of God, because we read from Scripture of how we do not come to God, that's in the Gospel of John, come to Jesus unless God has sent him. And so it's important here to recognize the power of God that we see in that short text that we have, and how God works, if I could use that word, in our hearts so that we come to the hearing of God's Word. Now, that does not mean that he ignores us. We may have the desire to come to hear God's Word in church with others, but because of illness and so on, we are not able to do so. But if it comes to human fleshly excuses, then that's another story. And we read that in other portions of Scripture as well. And so we look into our own hearts and our own consciences without looking at somebody else's, of how we are drawn, for example, to the reading of God's Word or to discussion of God's Word, fellowship around God's Word, and so on, and of how important that is. But here we are taught, in this reading that we had, we are taught a lot of lessons, but two important ones that I want to talk about today. And the first one deals with the shepherds and how they come and go to people who, and when, in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. And so they told others about it. And that's what we also need to do in sharing that word. You know, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But if we just leave it at repent, and Jesus didn't, and sometimes people are very harsh and go, you gotta repent, and the person has never heard of anything about repentance or what it really means. But if we start to talk ourselves about God's word, and if we act like a child of God, as we've talked many times, it doesn't necessarily mean what we're wearing. What it means is our nature, that we have in us, which is the nature of Christ. And we also have the Spirit, as we read in Galatians and other places. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, that leads us and guides us so that we are able to walk in love. We know the first three commandments teach us love to God, and the last commandments teach us love to ourselves and to the neighbor. That's what they are based on. And the big difference here that we find in the Old Testament where I will be reading from Numbers chapter 6, is that what you have in the Old Testament is so different of what you find in the New Testament. So often you find, however you do find about the gospel in the Old Testament, which I'll talk about in just a minute, if I stay online here. But that's an important thing. If we know, we've heard the word, we've seen Jesus Christ, we know Jesus Christ, he's in our hearts, we are in him, and so on, we share that message in one way or another that is positive, that is going to draw people to the hearing of that word, the reading of that word, and the understanding of why Jesus Christ came into this world. It wasn't, he didn't come so that we can trim the tree and exchange presents. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But for many people, that's Christmas. That's not Christmas. That's something else. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ and the joy that we have. And so we have human joy, but we also have and must have that inner joy that's within us, that the Lord has placed within us. Now, Mary didn't go anywhere to talk to anybody. And you think, well, no, she's quite a woman, huh? She went to talk to her distant relative and so on. But here we see what Mary did and which we also have to do. And that is ponder on what we have heard. And so right here in verse 19, but, first of all, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. How important that is, that we think about it. That we think about God's word. Ponder upon it. I've shared in many a sermon, and I'm sure here because I always do, about my mother. And the fact that on the way home, and it wasn't very far, a mile and a half, but sometimes it felt like 10 miles, as she would drive. And then when my dad repented and came to church, well, she was still in the front seat, but she still preached to us, saying, now remember what the preacher said, the minister said, and she would tell us all over again a summary of what was important. And as I got older, I tried to change the subject many times. Didn't work because she kept it up. But that's part of it. You know, she was pondering it in her heart. So we also need to ponder and share and talk about that's important. So now let's look at Numbers, the third book in the Old Testament, and or the fourth, rather, Numbers. And chapter 6, way at the end of chapter 6, something that is extremely, knowledgeable to all of us. We've all heard it, we've all prayed it, and so on and so forth. And so I'm going to read in Jesus' name from verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and our meditation and pondering upon that word. Amen. Now this sixth chapter in Numbers in total speaks to the people, as does Leviticus just before, giving all kinds of laws and ordinances and things that you must do, and how that many times depresses people. How can I be a follower of God? How can I do these things? And there's always, I'm thinking the wrong things, or I said the wrong words, or I got involved in this, or I've been involved in this, or I just don't feel religious at this moment, or whatever it might be. And that can happen. And it does. And there are people who have taken their own lives because of it. Because the preaching, for example, and the understanding has been so rough, but people say, well, there's no way I can live that well, so I may as well die right away, because I'm going to go to hell anyhow. That doesn't have to happen. No. And that as well is the fact that so often in the Old Testament, as we read, there's a lot of good places, you know, positive, but there's also negative. And people die because they have done something that was not right, and so on and so forth. But there is, right at the beginning, in the third chapter of Genesis, there is the first tidbit of gospel right there in chapter 3. And you know what's in chapter 3. And the serpent, remember. Now in verse 14 of chapter 3, Genesis, God spoke unto the serpent. But in verse 15, as he continues to talk to the serpent, he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." First bit of gospel of Jesus Christ and the cross. Someday, you, Satan, will be defeated. And of course, that day came when Jesus was crucified and then resurrected. And remember, the reaction of most people on that day when Jesus died, they said, "He's dead. There is no Son of God that was here." The disciples themselves were frightened and ran away. What has happened? He's dead, even though he had preached to them and talked to them about what was going to happen. But that's our flesh, you see. And so people, you know, for generations and generations, years, hundreds and thousands of years, not that many thousand, but they were not ready. Hundreds and hundreds of years went by. I thought, well, okay, nothing's happened. The devil is still here. And so that, you know, is a problem in our own lives of the devil saying, well, the devil's got me. And here we have in 3:15 that someday he's going to go. Well, okay, he hasn't. He's still around. And but the positive part is, as we read, that he shall be killed and done away with. So his power over us is taken away. You have to remember that. He is still working in people. But there are those who do not have within them the Holy Spirit. They do not have that powerful word of the gospel. They don't understand. And so, that is why then that they live the lives that they do live. But here we have and deny the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, in this sixth chapter, Moses brings forth the law of the Nazarites. Now, these are not the Nazarenes. They were a people who lived in Nazareth. But Nazarites were individuals who took vows, special vows, and they went through this process, and they had to avoid, during whatever that period was going to be, they could not cut their hair, they could not have any wine or grapes or raisins, and and so on. You read the first part, which I'm not going to do at the beginning, and go on. So it is. That's what happened. They were eating. They could not eat any of those. Live a very solid, somber lives, so that the vow that they made would stay. and that it would not be taken away because they were evil. Then at the end, when they had accomplished what they said they were going to do, and their promise had taken place, then their hair could be cut. In fact, it was shaved. And then they could continue their normal lives, although there were those also who used that as how they lived themselves, I understand. And so here we have that first promise of the gospel is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important to know. And we all know that there is that theme that goes through the blood of Jesus Christ, that goes through Scripture and into today, and of how it is that that blood washes away our sins. And when our sins are washed away, they're gone. God doesn't even remember them anymore. And so we're able to live in Him. Now, the thing is that as we think about this blessing, and blessing in other places as well, that God desired to bless His children, His people, despite their sinfulness. So He wants to bless you, He wants to bless me, even though we are sinful. We know that every day. But He loves us, and that in itself is one of the major themes of the book of Numbers, hidden in there amongst all of these other rules and regulations that they had to follow. But showing that so it is. Now, we don't hear too much anymore, if at all, about Nazarites and so on, unless there's some kind of cults that go on. But we do find mention of it, even briefly, in the New Testament. Paul, in Acts chapter 18, verse 18, mentions that he has a vow, but he doesn't go into detail about it. And there's another discussion of it in that same chapter. No. In chapter 21, and in a similar kind of verse, though, 23, and it leads into problems as well for Paul himself with others who think that he has failed in that with vows and so on and so forth. And so here we have then this the promise of the cross. And here we have, in this portion of Scripture that we read, the promise of faith, as I think about it. When God blesses us in this way, to have the faith to believe that He's doing it. It just becomes an automatic kind of thing. And I've often, I used to do it myself until some knowledgeable lady who was gone to her reward years ago told me, it came to me after service, and she said, Pastor, if you want us to join you in the Lord's Prayer, you must slow down. Well, the same thing happens with the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us, the Lord make His face shine upon us, and just go, it's like spinning down the road. I've learned, and I'm not blaming anybody, okay? Because people don't believe me anyway. Oh, well. But it's precious. It's precious. It's a blessing of God, not the blessing of man. Do we take it in? No. We're looking for the next, the last song while the minister is babbing away. Or if we say it ourselves, which is fine to do it in evening prayer. We also sometimes just go away, blah, 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 and we're done. And so, start with that. We see how after all this stuff that has been going on about all the rules and regulations, there is this, these few verses that should have made those people feel good. And he continues with other in Numbers, other things that have to be done. And so it's important. And it shows to us how God himself has that desire to bless us and also to accept what is being done. So we see here how Moses was told by God to ask Aaron, the high priest, and his sons, and to, on this wise, this is how you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. And earlier in chapter 9, we have him where he is blessing the people with other words, but he has both arms up. So often at a communion service, the person who has given the communion, and we've shared, will raise one hand and give the blessing. Otherwise, after a sermon, it isn't. It's just habit, you know. It's just, but it is because it follows the communion where we have partaken of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, where we have recognized how much his Father and he loved us so that he would die in such an excruciating way, not just the physical pain, but the, as we know, the inward pain as he wept over Jerusalem, how people just weren't listening. They weren't doing it. They weren't receiving it. But he didn't quit. He continued and went to the end, as difficult as it was. And so here it is a very, I think, important, although it's not, if you have your hand down, that doesn't mean you're not being blessed. But it's, you know, it's a part of that ritual, you might call it, of communion. It's the only one that we have in our church other than, you know, marriage time and so on. And so, there are other benedictions. There's something like 19 or more. It depends how you count them. In the New Testament, and many of them have a good message to them as well. So I'm not denying, I like Hebrews 13 myself at the very end. I don't use it often, but perhaps if I'm giving a series of services, I have been more apt to do that. But it's, you know, there's no regulation in Scripture says that you have to use this benediction, except our own hearts. And we need to, both as preachers and as hearers of that word, need to pay attention to it and ponder upon it. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now this is filled with promises, as that first promise, that one day you are going to be squashed, Satan. And so here we are, and we are told we're going to be watched over. We're going to be taken care of. And that's a blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And he wants to bless us. He wants to keep us. He wants to watch over us. He wants to guide us. Remember how we read in John so often about the coming of the Holy Spirit and a guide that Holy Spirit is, that leads us according to God's word and leads us on that way that goes to everlasting life, and that assures us, and how it teaches us a faith, which is, you know, absolutely important. So, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. He will not turn himself away from us, no matter how bad we've been. God is not going to turn away from you. No matter how the enemy of the soul has assailed you, he's not going to turn his face away from you. No matter what you've said and done, he's not going to turn his face away from you. It says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And we know that the grace of God is unmeasurable. Jesus Christ is truth, grace, mercy. By grace are you saved, through faith. By grace, by God. Imagine that. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be sitting here this morning. I don't deserve to be preaching God's precious word. That's His grace, His graciousness, so that we will continue to walk upon that pathway that leads to everlasting life. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee. You know, it's one thing to turn around like this and turn your face and just turn your back. But there are also those who will look and talk to the world. God looks us straight in the face. He's not pretending anything. He looks at us. Lift up your countenance. Give us peace. And He has given us peace. Jesus Christ, as Scripture teaches us, is peace. Do we enjoy that peace? Do we recognize that peace? You know, we are in the new year now, year 2017. And God is there on this very first day, as He always has been, blessing us, watching over us as we walk through the days of this year. He's there, filled with grace, graciousness, even though we step aside too often or have the wrong ideas, and how we many times ignore the peace that only Jesus can give us in its entirety. And so when we look at our lives and all we heard as a brother read and talked to us and we exchanged, all the problems and the troubles that we have in our lives, but God knows about it. And He desires that we would joy, that we would rest upon the peace that He has, the joy that He has to give us, rather than upon all those terrible things that seem so terrible and so great and are so difficult to live through. And the only way to do it is to be in Christ and with Christ. And we do all these things, and they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. If we walk with God, if we walk following the Lord Jesus Christ upon that wonderful path of eternal life, then we know that there is grace and there is ability for us to continue walking. In chapter 115 of Psalms, a wonderful, wonderful psalm. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Fear, the respect, the reverence that we have for God, that we do not want to bump Him all over, kick Him aside for the time being and so on. But those of us who are in the peace of Christ, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. That is, in the New Testament we see His house that we are living in even today, that kingdom that we are a part of. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And notice, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Think of that. You were blessed and are blessed. And there's something that I would like to read as a conclusion to that from the Apocrypha. And this is from Ecclesiasticus, and it's an easily read translation. It's not, you know, one of those that has to be in King James. But it talks here about a service that is being held, a description of a service, and the high priest at that time, and this is hundreds of years ago, the high priest there is, of course, named Simon. And so I'm going to read that. Then Simon came down. This is after this long ceremony was over. Then Simon came down and raised his hands over the whole congregation of Israel to pronounce the Lord's blessing, proud to take his name on his lips. And a second time they bowed in worship to receive the blessing from the Most High. Come then, praise the God of the universe, who everywhere works great wonders, who from our birth ennobles our life, brings us up, and deals with us in mercy. May he grant us a joyful heart in our time and send Israel lasting peace. May he confirm his mercy towards us and to his own good time grant us deliverance. In his holy name, amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day of grace. We thank thee, Father, for the precious word that we have. And we pray, Father, that we might go forth rejoicing, even amongst all those parts of life that seem so difficult and even impossible. But we know that with thee all things are possible and that thou dost work in our hearts. And so we thank thee, Father, for this day and those who come. And we bless, Father, each other. And we also thank you from the bottom of our hearts, as we human beings say. And now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.